This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
So, welcome, welcome, welcome. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, your host for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask a Vet with Dr. Jeff, along with my simulcast on my Instagram Live. Here for you, here for your pets. Anything you want to ask, now is the time to do it. Very easy to get a hold of me. Well, here on Instagram, you're here. Here on Pet Life Radio, 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. And it's just, hey, it's the easiest thing to do is join me and ask questions. So a whirlwind week for me. I just got back from the GPE Global Pet Expo, notably the largest pet industry trade show in the country. Of course, Super Zoo coming up in August also argues that they're the best, they're the biggest, but they're both pretty big. Anyway, just to put it in perspective. So, and I don't know how many people there were. Maybe Mark, if you knew, you can give me a thumbs up. But so I know there were 26,000 people in January at VMX, which is the Veterinary Medicine and Expo. And that was huge, one of the largest. That takes up, at the Orlando Convention Center, there's a hall called the North and South. They're butt up against each other, obviously South and North. And we take up the whole South Hall at VMX. Well, at Global, they took up both South and North. I mean, there, I don't know how many booths there were, but it was absolutely huge. We tried. In fact, Mark and I were just talking, Mark, our producer over at Pet Life, that he had a list of booths that he wanted to. He couldn't even get to half of them. It's just monstrous. But anyway, a lot of fun, a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, you know, there were some trends. You know, we talk about different trends. And this is, first of all, 2-3 years ago, you could not pass a booth. It wasn't promoting some sort of CBD. And there were like fewer CBD booths, and there were way more than food booths. So it seems like the food companies are exploding and CBD is down. So we were talking about this and someone said, look, because of the novelty of CBD and how it was being accepted by veterinarians, there were like dozens and dozens of companies. And obviously the stronger companies won out and the weaker companies just, I guess, folded, closed or merged. So maybe that point was, there's not any less available, but it just shows that the companies, that whether it's the better product, whether it's the better marketing, who knows? I got to tell you, oftentimes it's marketing. I know of a lot of great products, great foods, great everything that never made it. I know for one, my Optimum, because it didn't have the marketing dollar. So that's got kind of like business is business. That's what happens. You know, you need money to make money, and it's a shame. But food companies, oh my God, there are so many food companies and they're all vying for that position of, okay, who is the best? So Healing Touch, definitely get a hold of me. Let me know what kind of surgery we need to do, but I'm available. You know, I love surgery, but technology is what's amazing. There are so many automated things now. There was one product that I really loved. So it kind of looks like a rocket. It's called Dooku. It's D-O-K-O-O. To me, it would be, Doku, but they pronounce it Dooku. It's a Chinese company. And so they have a number of things. For example, they have an automatic feeder. And these things are things that you can literally set for time. You can control it from your smartphone. So if you say, oh my God, usually I'm not going to make it home by 6, my dog or cat's waiting, you can actually feed them remotely from your phone. But the one I really like, it looks like a big bullet, sits on a table. I actually did a piece, we're going to post it on Instagram. And you can control it either by timing, or you can actually log in and talk to your pet at home. And right in front of it, there's a little circle, a little hole, and you can pack it with treats. And you can actually hit a button on your phone and it spits a treat out at your pet. So here he is, you're talking to your dog, you're not home, you wish you could be home, you tell him to sit, he sits, you're watching everything. And then when he sits, you can actually give him a treat. It is the craziest thing. I thought that was so cool. But a lot of smart feeders, smart litter boxes, there's a litter box where you can maintain your cat's weight, because when he walks into the litter box, it shows you the difference of what it was as he walks. Again, all this is on video. You can watch it happen. And then you can see if you want to maintain your cat's weight, you want to measure it. Then there's another company that's doing an underarm thermometer, which we really never had. In veterinary medicine, it was obviously up the behind. And this one has a tip for ear temperature and under the armpit temperature, the front leg, for those of you that don't, we always talk them arms about our dogs too, but it's the front leg axilla. It measures within 0.2 degrees. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on. And pretty soon we're going to have to sit back with our pets and do nothing. You can automate everything. Before we know, we're going to have automatic robots going to be walking our dogs for us. It is just, it's amazing how fast this industry is changing, how fast it's growing, and how they're making it so much easier to be a pet parent. And again, nothing's going to replace, I think, again, the time we spend with our pets, but it also gives us a little more freedom to not have to be, like, for example, you cat. Now, you know, when we have dogs, they need to be walked. You have to get a pet sitter. Cats, oftentimes we tell people, look, you just need a sitter to come in once a day, once every other day. You leave enough litter out, you need enough food out, and they'll be good. Now you can actually visit with your cat while you're away and you can control the food bowl. It's really cool stuff. Water feeders, you know, like the water stream thing. There are so many things out there that just are amazing when it comes to technology and what these companies have done to make our lives as pet parents even easier, even better. So I think it's pretty cool stuff. Okay, dog flu, Vegas born. We'll get there in 1 second. Oh, spaying your Frenchie. Okay, healing touch, absolutely. And one thing we have to evaluate, I don't know if we talked about it already, but of course, that we want to look at the nares. We want to look at hear the soft palate. When it comes to the soft palate, and a lot of people ask me with Frenchies, well, what can we do? Do we need to do it? You know, the only way to really evaluate the soft palate in a Frenchie is while you're anesthetizing them. There's no way a Frenchie will allow you to open its mouth, pull the tongue down without fighting you to evaluate the length and the size of that soft palate. So it's got to be done. So I tell people the nares I can see on the outside. Tonsils, I might be able to get a quick look at. But really to evaluate, we have to wait till we do anesthesia. So I always talk about it beforehand. Let them know if they want to get a phone call from us before surgery. Once we find out whether we need to or not, we'll call you. But you really need you need to see it under anesthesia. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Hi, Beth. So you like the pink. You would comment on my pastel colors, but I love it. So favorite food brands are Open Farms for kibble. Such a great product. Yeah. So Eloise, by the way, Vicky, who's been on our show, is going to be on again soon, is a trainer, also a great trainer. And again, as a training tool, that remote thing is so amazing. So there was a question here I liked. You know, it's interesting. We're not hearing as much about it now, which means that either it was kind of a weird scare. It was very sort of a problem, in a localized problem where it wasn't everywhere, but we're hearing a lot about it. A lot of times they were coming, it could have been nothing more than just one of the current respiratory bugs that just got out of hand. Remember, a vaccine is only as good as its challenge dose. So when these vaccines are made and the amount of antigen is put in, that is the antigen, it doesn't become a disease creator. It is changed in many ways that it no longer, what they do is they take that same organism, they pass it through a different species. So now it's what they call attenuated. It will no longer cause the infection in the dog, even though it's the dog version, but now it's been through so many generations to another animal, it's mutated. And now it's still antigenic. It still will create that immune response, but it won't cause the disease. And it's all scientifically done. How much do we need? Well, if you're sitting in a room with dogs that have this severe respiratory infection and your dog is vaccinated, say with Bordetella and even influenza, it may not be protective if that challenge dose is huge. So vaccines are made kind of assuming what the normal exposure might be. But if it's much greater, because these dogs are in close proximity, it may not be as effective. So it could have been that. Again, we were talking about being a respiratory infectious disease complex. So that's a possibility also. But the issue really is, for whatever reason, we're not hearing about it as much. Does that mean that everybody was paying attention, getting their dogs up to date on their vaccines, and they were getting their Bordetella, the parainfluenza is part of the distemper parvo combo vaccine. So that's been given. They're getting the influenza. I always considered the influenza as a lifestyle vaccine. But now, having heard about this medication, listening to my friend Mike Lappin at Colorado State, who is an internal medicine specialist concentrating in infectious disease and GI. And when he, again, a lot of these specialists aren't for every single vaccine, but he started recommending it as one of the core vaccines because of this outbreak. So I started recommending it a lot too. And I'm not seeing nearly as much at all. So I would say keep your dogs vaccinated. I would, at least for now, include the influenza vaccine as part of your core. And hopefully we won't be seeing much of this. So, but the good news is it's much improved. We're not seeing as much. So as far as favorite food brands, you know, one thing I noticed at this show, there are tons of food brands. I'm shocked. You cannot go down an aisle and see different three different food brands out there. I'm always very cautious to talk about a food brand as the best, because in my opinion, there is no best. Again, I always go back to one of my favorite foods, maybe not always so good for me, but I love it. And that's ice cream. For me to tell you what your favorite ice cream is, that's my taste. It's not the same. There are so many great brands out there. And that's why there are arguments over whether or not something is the best. Is it McDonald's? Is it Grater's? You know, is it Ben & Jerry's? Is it Häagen-Dazs? I mean, is it Thrifty? A lot of people love the Thrifty ice cream. A new one, Handel's, which is really, if you like ice cream, you got to look for it and see if it's in your area. It's good. But anyway, there are so many good ones. People love McDonald's. I'm not crazy about McDonald's. I think it's too rich and it leaves that film. You just know it's too rich in cream on the roof of my mouth. So I'm not a big fan. But anyway, the bottom line is there are a lot of really good ones. And that's what we want people to know, that there are a lot of good, good ice creams out there. So there are a lot of good dog foods out there as well. So here are my criteria. First and foremost, your dog has to like it. If they don't eat the food, I don't care how great it is. I don't care if it's the best food on the planet, in the world. It's not good for your dog. Secondly, does it leave them with a nice shiny coat? How about good formed stools? Lots of energy. That's the dog part. Now, how about your part? There are two big things here when it comes to pet foods. Number one, convenience. How available is it? Do you have to drive 4 or 5 miles away to one pet shop that has your food? And what's the cost? I mean, let's face it, we all have budgets. And if we can't, if you can't afford it, then look for something else that's more affordable. So when you think about all those things, then you're going to see. Now, I'm waving. I want some questions. Ah, okay. A good one. The Frenchie. I love these Frenchie questions. So my Frenchie is gagging and throwing up thick saliva, mucus. What do I do? So my questions would be many. First of all, how old is the Frenchie? Is this something new or is this happening all the time? Frenchies, because of their pharynx and larynx, they do accumulate a lot of mucus and they do sit and cough up that thick phlegm. Many Frenchies, because of the soft palate, have a problem with that because it's not easy for them to swallow. And then on top of that, you have something called a hiatal hernia, where the cardia, which is the part of the esophagus going into the stomach, it's the opposite of the pylorus. The pylorus is that muscular ring separating the stomach from the small intestine. But the cardia is that ring that lets the food into the stomach from the esophagus. And if there's a hiatal hernia, if part of that is leaking through the diaphragm and it's putting pressure and sort of closing that area. And again, we'll get vomiting. We'll get this thick mucus. So it really depends on, is this a cough? In which case we just talked about upper respiratory problems. Is it because of a hiatal hernia? Is it just because of a soft palate? So what I would need to know is, tell me more about your Frenchie. How old? If it is a young dog and there's also a lot of bile coming up, I would think about maybe some sort of reflux disease because of either the breed, which a lot of Frenchies have this, or a hiatal hernia. And we may want to do some late night feeding, make maybe a little snack before bed, maybe some omeprazole or famotidine, which is Pepcid, or omeprazole is Prilosec. So there are some things that could be done to help this, maybe feeding smaller meals. So it all really depends on when it started, how it started, is something else involved? And then we can go from there. We'll see you on April 1st, Riley's Dental on possible fatty cell removal. Oh, talk about fat removal. You remember a couple of weeks back, I did this huge tumor. I posted it, that 6-pound splenic tumor. If you go on my Instagram, you'll see a post about it, but it was huge. And it was an incidental finding. The owner did not know about it because when the dog is, you know, standing normally, you can't tell unless you're really good at palpating the stomach. But when it was on his back, as I was taking off the fatty tumor, that's when I noticed this kind of a lump, a raised area in its otherwise should be soft abdomen, especially when they're anesthetized and on their back, the belly should be like spongy. This thing was hard as a rock. So went in after it, thought maybe it was, if we'd be lucky, it would be in the subcutaneous space. No. It was in the abdomen. Okay. We got to prep them, cut them for a major surgery, open them up. This huge tumor. It was disgusting. It was heavy, 6 pounds. It was, from looks anyway, the classic malignant hemangiosarcoma. I talked about it with the owners. Fortunately, the chest was clear, but it affects the prognosis long-term if it was a hemangio. Anyway, of course, as with any mass, we're going to send it off. Well, this is really cool. It came back Friday benign. a benign tumor, probably the ugliest benign tumor I've ever seen. But I mean, can you imagine that phone call I got to make to the owners? I said, it's a Friday, and I just want to give you some good news going into the weekend. That huge mass that we took off, it's benign. First of all, the dog, he told me, I'm going to see him tomorrow, actually, to take the stitches out. The dog is doing amazingly well. He said, it's like a puppy again. And dog's 13. So can you imagine how that heavy mass in his abdomen was just literally weighing him down? This is truly a lifesaver because of that. Just because it's benign, that doesn't mean they can't burst. So I was so lucky that, well, I was lucky. The dog was lucky that we noticed this. And anyway, look, he's 13. It's big dog. You know, he's closer to the end than not, whatever that end might be, even if he lives to 16. You know what I mean? But he won't go because of this mass. And that was fantastic. Is it true that if your puppy has not had all shots yet, you can't take them for a walk in your own neighborhood? So let's talk about that. Oh, there are two things. Healing Touch, Safe to Spare, Frenchie at Five. We have two great questions, and we have to break a quick commercial break. And these are both great questions I want to share with everybody. So, Mark, let's take it to a quick commercial. And then when we come back, we're going to answer these two questions about when you could start taking your puppy out. And speaking of puppy, five-month-old dog, if you want to spay a five-month-old dog, I'm not so sure you want to do that. So don't go away. I'll explain when we come back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right. Boy, that was a fast commercial, Mark. Thanks. So I'm sitting here talking away about vaccine schedules. So 8, 12, 16 is ideal. The first one, I just give the distemper parvo. Second and third, I'll do distemper parvo bordetella. And now I've added, as I mentioned earlier, influenza, at least here in Southern California. Every area is different. Let's talk lepto for now. So lepto is a bacterial infection. Actually, it's zoonotic. It can affect us as well. And it's shed in the urine and feces of mostly these wild rodents because they're not being protected. And in the foothills, in the mountains, near streams, areas that you might take your dog hiking, but you don't usually see it in the city. And also in the older times, I'm talking about in the last few years, it would also cause the most vaccine reaction of all the vaccines was lepto. So we didn't use it unless the dog was going to be exposed. It was a lifestyle vaccine. Does every dog need it? No. So that's one you need to talk with your veterinarian about lifestyle. If your dog does a lot of hiking, then absolutely yes. If you go camping with your dog, absolutely yes. I have five dogs. We walk in our neighborhood. They're too poorly behaved sometimes to take to a dog. When it was just my yellow lab, Tommy, oh, we used to go to Runyon all the time. He used to love it. Now they have created such a pack of obnoxious dogs that three of them will want to kill any other dog on the planet that's not part of the pack. So we go for long walks in the neighborhood. They get their exercise. They have a big yard. We have a pool. So Tommy loves to swim, but we can't go to Runyon. Therefore, I don't do lepto. Now, there was a scare here in the Santa Monica area, but it's so West LA, about a year, 2 years ago, where I was giving lepto because somehow there were rats that were discovered in the Santa Monica parks and they were shedding lepto. We were seeing an uptick of the cases of lepto. So therefore, yes, we did it for a while. I'm not recommending it for everybody. Now, this ties in to the other question we had, all right, about walking your dog in a neighborhood. Now, I go like this. Before vaccine, when vaccines start, just one vaccine, I still like to have the dogs at home in a protected yard away from other dogs. However, you have another question here, socialization. So with socialization, yes, you want to socialize. So you want to maybe invite dogs over, younger dogs if possible, that aren't too, you know, going to overbear your little puppy. And we want to start socializing as early as 8 weeks of age. So as long as your friend's dog is well cared for, well vaccinated, and you know them and trust them, yes, you should start setting up play dates. But I don't want your dog walking in the neighborhood yet. Now, second shot, 12 weeks of age. You always wait a few days, let the shot kick in and start working. Now I recommend, yeah, you can start walking your dog on your block, not going over a mile, just on your block, back and forth. And of course, watching that there's no poop sitting in the grass. Hopefully you have responsible neighbors that are picking up after their pets. And then that's okay as well. I don't recommend going out in public places like the dog parks, right? Like we say, we have a Runyon Canyon, taking them to a daycare facility, not until they've completed their vaccine series. And that's at 16 weeks. Now, what about rabies? Now, by law, rabies is required at 16 weeks. And some say it's even at 12 weeks. I'm not a fan. Even at 16 weeks, I'm not a fan either. Why? Because if we're giving our dogs the last puppy shot, including the Bordetella, including the influenza, that's a lot of vaccine in one day. And interestingly, it's not the number of antigens that's the problem, because apparently, according to an immunologist I talked to, the body can handle millions, and they do every day. But it's the adjuvants, it's the preservatives that are in the vaccines that might cause a reaction. So I usually push rabies back until 20 weeks, 19 to 20 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks later, and then you're good to go. Am I worried about a dog getting rabies? Probably not. No, is the answer. Not in a city, not certainly in Los Angeles. Again, it might vary. If you're out in the country somewhere and there are wild animals and rabies is a problem, then of course, don't let them out until you can finish the rabies shot. But here in LA, in the city, I haven't had a case of rabies in LA in, I don't know, 50 years. So am I worried? I'm not worried. But we still, by law, it's required, should be done, at least in dogs. And therefore, I do recommend it, but I kind of like pushing it off. Also, if the dog vaccine series from elsewhere wasn't right up to par, we might still need to give one more Bordetella or one more influenza. So we'll do that at 19, 20 weeks when we give that rabies. So that's my take. Again, every veterinarian has its own philosophy. Follow your veterinarian's philosophy. I think mine makes a lot of common sense, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I've never had a problem, knock on wood. Now, let's talk about a safe to spay a female Frenchie at 5 months of age. I just did a post with Beanie and Kate, if you want to look it up, or I think it's Kate and Beanie. Met them at the trade show. She is an influencer, and she does a day in the life of, or she does, you know, every day she posts something about her and Beanie, this cute little puppy. So I met them at the show. And they're telling me she's 7 months and she's about to get spayed. And I asked her, has she had her first heat yet? And she goes, no, that's interesting. Okay. I mean, look, first heats are, they say 7 months. It's okay that she didn't have it, but they want to spay her already. So right there, I was a little bit, am I going to have a little discussion with her? Next, I look in the mouth. Oh my God, still has retained baby teeth. So now I'm saying, whoa, time out. We are not going to knock a dog out and spay them if they still have baby teeth. Why? Because small breeds typically often do not lose their baby teeth at all on schedule, not only on schedule, but at all, which means you have to pull those baby teeth or else it doesn't allow the adult tooth to come in the proper location, leading to malocclusion and problems. Those teeth need to come out. Well, can you pull a baby tooth or any tooth on an awake dog? Heck no. That means an anesthesia. Well, if you anesthetize and spay a five-month-old dog who hasn't had her first heat yet, and there's still baby teeth in the mouth, you are very strong possibility of having to knock them out again at 7 or 8 months of age. That's two anesthesias, especially with a Frenchie. The surgeries that you can do on a Frenchie aren't what kills them. It's the anesthesia. And if you're not careful and you don't know what you're doing and you haven't done a lot of French bulldogs or English bulldogs or any brachycephalic breed, that's wherein lies the problem. So my answer is no. 5 months, too early. And now let's talk about the other problem or issue or potential issue. When is it safe to spay? Should we let a dog have her first heat? And the overwhelming view now, which is different than it was 10 years ago, is no, you need to let them have their first heat. And there are a number of empirical data. It may not be scientifically proven yet. I don't know how they're going to do it, but it seems to be more problems with incontinence as an older dog in those puppies that were pre-puberty spayed. And in large breed dogs, as we talked about many, many a time, there was a larger proportion of male dogs, 65% greater incidence in a male, and a 35% greater incidence of a female large breed dog who were pre-puberty spayed or neutered with osteosarcoma bone cancer when they aged, when they got older. So my answer is absolutely, I would not recommend spaying a five-month-old puppy, period, regardless of the breed. And I would let them have their first heat unless there's a really good reason. Now, interestingly, the early spay-neuter programs, they're not so popular anymore. And I think it's because of this new data that we've been learning about early spay-neuter that maybe it's not so good. Now, I understand why they had to do it, 100%. You know, the olden days, they would get a voucher when they adopted their dog, free. It's your spay-neuter is already paid for, but we want to wait, which was a smart idea, all right? From developmentally, a smart idea. But what happens is they didn't care that they paid the $100 or $75. They never brought them back in for that free spay or free neuter. So what happened? These dogs are out there on the street now. Obviously, an owner that is probably not such a great owner, not very responsible, because they didn't even bring their pet back for a spay neuter they already paid for. So what makes you think that this owner is going to be any better at not making sure the dog stays inside all the time and running around? So therefore, early spay neuter programs. I support that. I really do. It's worth having some of the little problems later than all these puppies that are, you know, being euthanized. I told you that last week, I think it was, or the week before, I told you this, the numbers, 359,000 dogs and 333,000 cats were destroyed in the nation's shelters and pounds last year. That's insane. So I understand. And I think that that is right. Cicadella mucus, we talked about that. I don't know about what knowledge, but anyway, it correlates with vaccines for cats and cancer. Yes. And I've talked about this and I very, very feel very strongly about it, which is why there are certain vaccines even though they say you're supposed to give, they become lifestyle. What are the two lifestyle vaccines that here in California for cats, we're lucky we don't have to give it, is rabies. It's required, unfortunately, in most states. And then the leukemia vaccine. Those are the two vaccines that are most often implicated in a condition called feline vaccine-induced sarcoma. That is a tumor from having gotten a vaccine. And the two vaccines, as I said, that are most often implicated are the rabies and feline leukemia. And if you note, if you've ever been, I'm amazed, by the way, how many clients have told me when they're coming from elsewhere animal hospital that they've never been in the room when the doctor gives shots because they take the animal in the back. Oh, you don't pay money to see the doctor and have them take them in the back for everything. So I do it. If I can, I clean the ears. Sometimes I need help with my tech, or it depends on sometimes animals, believe it or not, don't behave as well when they're with their owner than we do with our technicians. And I can't tell how many times I have a dog who's like a crazy nut and Tasmanian devil. But when I get them in the back, oh, they're heaven. They're just so protective when they're with mom or dad. So most of the time, if I can do it in the room with the owner, I will. Vaccines. So we used to give vaccines in a cat, like a dog, almost anywhere where you can lift up skin. And we no longer do that, even with the FARCP PNE vaccine. All right. Why? Because if they should get this feline vaccine-induced sarcoma and it's on somewhere on the trunk, we're damned. We're damned because ultimately those cats need to be put to sleep. There's no treatment. You can remove it. You'll never get it all. So why then now do we, I give them always in a hind thigh. There's some vets that will do it up in a shoulder. I don't like doing that. And I'll tell you why in a minute. That is that when, or if I should say, they develop this feline vaccine sarcoma, but it's in a thigh, an extremity, front leg or back leg, then guess what? You can treat it and save their life. It's going to take an amputation to do it, but at least you can. Now, with amputation in mind, animals put more of their weights on their four limbs, the front legs, 60% roughly in the front and 40% in the back. So if I'm going to take a limb, I'd rather it be a hind limb. That way, cat can still, cats love to go on top of things and jump off. So again, there's no science there. That is just common sense for me. It makes sense to me. So I do it. So I always go the hind limb. Fortunately, I have yet to need to use amputation as a treatment because I have yet to see that reaction. I think whatever was causing it is being improved. We're probably not seeing it as much, but I still would recommend when it comes to cats that you only have the cats vaccinated in an extremity, just to be safe. How long do you wait before doing surgery if your dog has leg disease? So sadly, I've had one case. One is literally on the process of healing. And guess what? He's now started limping on his other leg. I take an x-ray. Now this is 6 weeks or 4 weeks after the first surgery where the second leg looked perfect. And now this dog's limping. I say, oh, did it happen? Did it get injured? What? Maybe because it was healing on the first leg. It was putting more pressure and maybe twisted. Take an x-ray. Guess what? Leg Peirce disease. It's an aseptic necrosis of the femoral head and neck. That means the blood supply to the developing femoral head and neck The femur is the long bone. The head and neck is the ball. It's the ball of the ball and socket joint. The ball fits into the acetabulum of the pelvis, and it starts to literally disintegrate because it loses blood supply. And guess what? This poor dog, poor puppy, is now has it in the second leg. So we're going to have to schedule a surgery for that one too. Kind of a drag. Okay, let's go back to the six-year-old, the dog that cocked out the phlegm. I would say then if it's phlegm, I would maybe check the mouth, maybe a chest x-ray to see if it's coming maybe from the chest. But again, at 6 months, if he's not fixed or is he already neutered? If not, I would definitely check the palate. And, you know, there's hernias, hiatal hernias are much more difficult. You have to do dye studies. I usually recommend seeing a specialist for that. Maybe a really good, someone who's really good at ultrasound, sometimes requires endoscopy. So I don't do that. I would refer those cases. But first, check out the easy stuff, make sure the lungs are clear, and let's put them through a trial of treatment. And then if that doesn't work, then we can send him on. But first, if he hasn't been fixed yet, and maybe hopefully at 6 years, he's probably been fixed already. So, you only had him for 6 months. So he's probably neutered. And if this is a new thing that just happened, I would treat it more symptomatically first. And that doesn't work, because the argument would be, if he's six, you've had him for 6 months, that means he's gone at least maybe about half his life already without a problem. So this is probably something new, probably not anything developmental. So before we go, I'm saying hello to everybody. Thank you for joining me. Another piece of technology that I am about to learn more about tomorrow. My whole staff is going in early to have a training session. This is really, really cool. And I am so excited to get to use this. Oh, look, I think there are a lot of breeders that I am in touch with, and I see the, what they recommend, their paperwork, what their comments. And then, no, that's not true. That's not true. Red Apple, we'll talk about that in a minute. So a lot of breeders think that when they become breeders, even if they're legitimate, professional, knowledgeable, they think their DVM degree comes with it. Guess what? They are not exposed to all this new data. Remember, I was told this when I graduated, that's 40 years ago, by one of my mentors who basically knew that I was a hotshot, knew that I was cocky, and yet still told me, Jeff, remember, every 5 years, half of what is gospel is going to be obsolete. You need to stay up on things. And that's why the next question I'm going to talk about the being spayed after first heat, is not true. Things change. We learn more. So what a breeder tells you, no. You need to hear it from a veterinarian, someone who is staying up on the data, who is going to these conferences, who is reading, getting journals, etc. So the cancer thing, the breeder is, well, whoever told you this is partially correct. If you spay a dog prior to a first heat, there's about a 98% reduction in the incidence of mammary cancer as they age. Okay. If you let them have one heat and spay them before the second, that number does drop to about 90%. Still very protective, but there are many other benefits on the other end that weren't there if you do it after the first. So spay them, let them have one heat, not a litter on that first heat, or else it's blown. But here's the catch. This is where a little knowledge is dangerous. If you let them have the second heat, then she's right, or this whoever told you this, then it drops to zero. You do have that one crack at it, and that is letting them have one heat, and that's all I want, one heat. And then you spay them after that first heat, and you still get tremendous mammary reduction, 80%, yet you also get lots of other benefits. So again, a little knowledge is dangerous. All right. Now, another thing that I was telling you about something I'm being trained on tomorrow. Talk about technology. This is really, really cool. So this is technology that comes from Israel. And Israel is like the haven. It's only second to the US from anywhere in the world on new technology. It's amazing for that little teeny country. So it's a device. It has a little handheld, like a transducer, almost like a probe, and it's attached to a screen. You take this probe. If you have a mass that is palpable, if it's inside the belly, it's not going to work. But if it's superficial, but palpable, you can feel it easily. It goes down several centimeters, that you put half of the probe on the mass and half on the normal skin surrounding the mass. It holds it in place for about 45 seconds. It goes to a screen and it feeds back information using, I don't know how it works, heat, infrared. It's almost like how the heat bounces back to you on the screen. It's red. And it will tell you, is this mass behaving as, and this is going through tons, thousands and thousands of cases. So it's all in there. and it's an algorithm now. Is this mass reading as a malignant mass or a benign mass? So no more cytology, no more that expense of sending cytology to a lab, which is several hundred dollars. And you have to wait 2 days, in our case in LA, 5 or 6 days. This is something that will tell you right there in the office, do we need to worry about it? It can't tell you what kind of tumor. It can tell you, though, it is a tumor, malignant tumor, and you might want to get it out right away. Then you're spending your money on just a biopsy, which is a lot smarter than cytology, because oftentimes when you do cytology and you're pulling some samples and you send it to the lab and you're costing a couple of hundred bucks or more, and that comes back inconclusive. Well, now you got to go back in anyway and take it. So this way, you know in advance, is it behaving like a malignant tumor or a benign tumor? If it's benign, you can 90 plus percent accuracy. You wait till the next dentistry, you wait till another reason to anesthetize dog, you wait till it gets larger, or is it growing fast? Then you can take it anyway, but you know you're dealing with something benign. Whereas if it's malignant and you're going to do surgery right away, you're going to suspect maybe a mast cell, you're going to take wider margins, you're going to go deeper, you get the whole thing, have it biopsied. That it's so amazing. Love it. And it's called the HT Vista, it's this company. And I saw that and I said, this is so cool. So anyway, we already have the unit. We had my first training last week. Our training with my techs is tomorrow. And I'm going to start using it like ASAP. 6-year-old French, mucus disease. I Googled it with seconds here in front of red. The honey mixed with warm water works. So I got honey, also ginger. That's fine. Look, all these things, there's no right or wrong when it comes to stuff like this. So I would go for, and by the way, Red Apple, let us know how it works. It's great. I mean, if it works, it's terrific. But I think it's not, I don't think it's anything serious because, as I said, the dog is six. It's like one of my clients, I don't want to get into too much detail, but went elsewhere for an eye exam. I sent them to an ophthalmologist. The dog was a Frenchie, 7 years of age. Does he get, when it gets excited at the office, but at home, it's usually fine. Well, the ophthalmologist heard it and said, oh my God, it's a Frenchie, 7 years old. 7 years old. That's very important to me. Why? She has her surgeon. They talk her into doing the same surgery that I do, the Nares, right? The soft palate, quoted her and charged her $10,000. First of all, by me, it would have been $4,000 or less. It depends how much I have to do with it. I have to do tonsils with it. If I have to do the Nares. So what an idiot. But 7 years of age. Yes, this dog was a happy dog for 7 years. What's the likelihood, however long or this soft palate was, that it's going to kill this dog if it's already made it through 7 years? And it only really happens when the dog gets excited. So be careful out there. Be careful out there. Get second opinions. Don't let someone quote just something right away and do it. I find that there are a lot of veterinarians out there. They're too academic and they don't practice practical medicine. Ask the right questions. Get better history. So you know what? When it gets excited, you know it's going to happen. But obviously, dog made it through 7 years already. I'm not too worried. Anyway, that's all we have time for today. I've already gone over time. I'm getting dirty looks from Mark. So if you need to get a hold of me here on Pet Life Radio, it's just simply Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com. I'd love to hear from you. And you're on Instagram. Ask away. You know, you can get a hold of me anytime. Love to hear from you. I can help you in any which way I can. I'll give you some advice. It's free. So you know, go for it. Take advantage of me. My clients do all the time. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. For those of you who celebrate, happy Purim. Those of you who know what that is, you can call me or reach me and I'll explain it to you. But those who know, know. Anyway, have a great day, everybody, and have fun. It's a happy day, so you're supposed to have a lot of fun today. And eat well. So we will see you next week, same time, same back channel here on Instagram Live, on Pet Life Radio. And thanks for joining me. And again, see you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.